This would be Tommy G on bass.
On a bass guitar over there. This, of course, is Josh Kirby, and then I got over here
Josh Goggin.
You know it. And then I've got a special guest, two special guests here today.
Two.
Chris Hubbard, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And your name is Roger, right? Yeah, I got Roger out here.
Roger. What's happening, Roger?
Yeah. Blow some stuff up here.
Literally.
Oh, too soon.
Not literally, no.
Well, you know how we do it. We just get on down and just do it to it, right?
Yeah.
We don't mess around.
So the arts. Tell me a little bit about your experience in the arts there, Chris. What are you bringing to the table here today?
I'm a musician.
Sweet. What do you play?
I play the drums and a little guitar. The piano. You know? All right.
That's
good. That's good. Right.
Yeah. I rap as well. A poet.
Good.
Uh-huh.
I do some music in that area. So.
Okay. Okay. Cool. What's your favorite thing to do?
Favorite thing to do?
Honestly? Out of all those things you just listed.
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, they all involve music, so I'm just going to just throw a slab of music. I just love it. That's my favorite.
Well, of course, we got a bassist right here, and I know Josh.
I'm a little bit of everything. I can play a little bit of everything, but I'm mostly a singer, and I focus around piano and saxophone.
Saxophone?
Yeah, saxophone.
Jazz?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, jazz? I just kind of pick it up and just play whatever noodle around on it.
We'll have to do something.
Okay.
I can't brag like that. I play a little bit of guitar and I'm a singer, but not as good as him.
I was going to say, Jazz, that Josh just got back from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
How did that go for you, bro?
You know, it was pretty fantastic. The weather was decent. It was hot, but it was dry. I didn't expect that part of the country to be as dry as it was.
Up
in the north there.
Yeah. You said Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Washington, D.C., yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They want to go there.
Yeah. Do they have a big crowd out there?
Signs?
Protesters there?
The only protesters I saw were standing in front of the White House, and they were all protesting Trump. And it was kind of ridiculous because right when we landed, I got like a little news thing that was talking about Trump. He was in Chicago.
Whoa.
And they're all standing out there protesting against Trump, and I'm like,
"You're wasting time.
Yeah, like, he's not here.
What are you doing?"
And what's really funny is like everybody was like, "No, he's in there. He's just hiding." And all there were Secret Service agents up on the roof, and they were like, there were Secret Service agents like huddled up under the trees in the shade, and
they're probably just thinking, "We could pay to sit here, not just
like this is pretty cool." But I went to. We walked down the street to the street corner on Pennsylvania Avenue right there on the edge, and there was a Secret Service agent just sitting there. There was a Secret Service agent just sitting there chillaxing, and I didn't want to just come up and be like, "Hey, is Trump here?" So I just kind of sidled up next to him, and I was just like, "Hey, he's not here, is he?" And he just like looked at me and was like, and I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine. So I went about my day. But it was really cool being up there, going to see all the monuments. And, like, we went to Arlington National Cemetery, went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, got to see the changing of the guard, which was awesome. And I was telling Josh before we, before this all started, we were up there hanging out by the tomb, and there was a group of people on the other side who were being kind of rowdy, and like four soldiers came out of nowhere and just bum rushed him, and they're shouting at him. It's like, "You will maintain an air of silence and respect." And there were signs all over the place. And it was terrifying, but I was like, "I'm just glad that's not me. I'm so glad."
I heard that.
But we also went to Gettysburg, which is the most monumented battlefield on the planet. Right. And literally, you couldn't step 5 feet without there being some kind of stone monument. Right. Like, and they were for platoons, individual soldiers, generals, like on the exact spot where these people died. Wow. And it was great. It was wonderful. We got to go up on Little and Big Round Top.
Yeah. So tell me about the guy that's the soldiers bum rushed him now. did they use the actual knife hand?
No, like, they didn't raise the guns, they didn't, like, direct at them, they just, like, they came out of nowhere and surrounded these people and were shouting at them, and I'm just like...
So they held their weapons like this, and they were standing right there, and
no, the only guy who had a weapon was the soldier who was guarding the tomb, and he didn't leave his designated area. He heard what was going on, just flipped around, did a 180 on his heel, and just started shouting. He didn't point the gun at them or anything, he just... pointed, like, looked in their direction, and then three other soldiers just came out of nowhere.
About face, like...
Yeah, just like...
That's like the coolest thing.
I can picture the...
You!
Oh, yeah. Knife, yeah. Yeah.
Knife hand is the most intimidating gesture.
Especially from a Marine. Like, that's just...
Oh, yeah.
Well, think about it. You know, Josh over here, he is a military... well, he's still in the military, so he knows a lot about... military protocol and being ready. I have a brother-in-law that's every time I fly into LA, I'd be looking for him because he'd be like standing guard at the airport, and I'd be ready. And he's a Ranger, so he's one bad dude. I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, I was reading up on like qualifications and like what the protocol for being a guard for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is, and there's like a wait list that's like 10 years long to be considered to be in the barracks, because they have a barracks for these guys underneath the tomb, and they live there for like, I think their service time is like 5 to 10 years that they serve as guards. They can't drink alcohol while they're a guard. They can't take any type of drug or like smoke tobacco or anything. And they have to spend 3 hours preparing their uniform, their dress uniform, every day before they go out for their guard duty. Mm. And their uniform has to be spotless, no wrinkles, no dust, nothing. And another thing is they can't curse, take the Lord's name in vain, or speak out against the military or anything for the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives, as long as they've been a guard, and they have this, they have a wreath pin that designates that they have been a guard for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And if they want to keep that pin, then they have to follow all these strict guidelines. These rules.
So, yeah. What is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? What
so, I think it was around the Civil War. There were 5 soldiers whose bodies could not be identified. And so they built a monument in Washington, D.C., in Arlington National Cemetery, or before it was the National Cemetery. They built this monument for them where these people were interred. And over the years, four of the other soldiers have been identified. So now there's only one soldier who's interred in the tomb who they don't know who he is. Mm. And so he's basically deified because we don't know who he is, but he served for his country and he died for his country. And so... he's sort of like a modern American deity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Unknown soldier.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Speaking of soldiers, I heard you was a soldier for the Lord. Is that right?
In the army of the Lord. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes, tell us a little bit about that.
The Faith Walk? Of course. Have an origin story, you know, my Marvel on. I came to Christ about 4 years ago, and... I was about 20. I was about, exactly 20, 19 and 20, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome, you know. Of course, you know, we get this idea of God or religion, you know, as growing up, and I was raised Methodist, so you know, you've been to Methodist College, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So a lot of things didn't make sense, but I didn't really question a lot. Well, not out loud. You know, I questioned it personally, you know what I mean? Didn't really speak on it, but questioned a lot of things, you know. And one thing, I did realize through church is that if nothing else hit me, if the word or I didn't understand anything, what I did understand was the music. And I understood how the music felt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I knew there's a difference between secular music and gospel music. You know what I mean? Secular music tells me what I want to hear. Gospel music tells me what I need to hear.
True.
You know what I mean? And that was, true. You know... That was I knew it was something about God at that moment, you know what I mean? Just in that fact, you know what I mean? Just because how I feel about music. And then when I finally came to Christ, you know, I realized how I really was, you know, so excited. So excited to, you know, like, wow, you know, this thing that, you know what I mean, I've questioned my whole life. And other people my age have questioned, like, this is real, you know what I mean? And it was like something I wanted to tell the whole world, you know? I wanted to tell everybody, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, naturally, in a worldly sense, I was met with hate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Trying to tell people about something that they didn't understand. I was really, you know, people would respond in a really negative way. And it really kind of, you know, deterred me from talking about it for a really long time, actually. But up until recently, you know, I read this thing in my devotional saying that it's awesome that when people show you hate because of Christ, because that means they don't count you among the world. They count you with Christ, you know what I mean? Because the world is darkness. Christ is light. Darkness naturally hates light. So if they hate you, then you're counted with them. You're with Christ. So it's a good thing. And you know what I mean? I was like, I wish I would have known that then. You know what I mean? It would have made me, you know what I mean? Like, now I feel great about it. You know what I mean? Okay, good. Like, you know what I mean? I'm glad it happened. You know what I mean? Versus, you know, then when I felt, you know, kind of down about it. But that's awesome that we, you know, I got to talk about that, actually. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's, you know, the basis of it. I can't go all the way. It might take the whole time. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna share this. Us three gentlemen have graduated from a Methodist college.
He's
working on it. He's working on it. I've graduated, and Mr. Kirby has.
Still waiting on my receipt.
But anyway, it's going to happen for you, Josh. Excuse me, bro. See, that's how I feel about you. You know, I know it's going to happen for you. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that religion is something that's big now, and we need to keep it that way, because if we lose religion, what do we have? I mean, everybody wants to kill us. We got haters over here. We got kids getting blown up just because they went to an Ariana Grande concert over in London or somewhere.
Manchester,
England. Yeah. And but the thing about it is, some of these babies that went to this show, the first show they go to and they get killed, what kind of mess is that? I mean, that's wrong.
But then you have people like, did you hear about those two homeless dudes who, as soon as it happened, they just ran into the theater, like into the arena, and started helping people. Mm-hmm. And they had no concern for their own safety.
Right,
and
but they started helping.
They're just like, they had nothing else, they had nothing to gain, they had nothing to lose, and they just jumped in and did what needed to be done.
Josh, excuse me, that takes me back to this. There's always good and there's always bad at the same freaking time.
Definitely.
You hear me?
Definitely.
And we got to, if we could just weigh it out to where it's better at or more good than bad, I don't know how we could do that, but because we don't know what's going to happen in the next second. We don't. But the thing about it is, like what they're saying on the news now is, what could we do or what can we do to prevent something like this? How do we monitor this? How do we not let this happen again? That's number one. And it's just crazy. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I mean, I feel that if you have a conviction, and I mean, I'm not a Christian, but as a musician, someone who's dedicated their lives to advancing music in humanity, period, when you have a conviction, you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to everyone around you to advance that conviction, to do everything you can to show it to the world. Like, you as a Christian, you want to tell everybody about it, regardless of whether or not they show you hate. Like, you have the conviction to spread the word.
Right.
And as a musician, I have the conviction to make music. Now, I've had plenty of time people just like, you're always singing, stop singing, or stop making noise. I'm just like, get out of here. You get out of here. I ain't going to stop making noise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just, if you have the conviction, you owe it to yourself and the rest of the world in order to advance it.
Well, one big thing that I know that is in the Christian beliefs is really good. I forget what it's called. Parable is what idle hands or the devil's hand make the devil's handiwork in
you. Idle hands are the devil's plaything.
You know, so that right there, the whole idea behind conviction and making yourself for music or making yourself for one thing or making yourself for the other,
mm-hmm.
that's huge. If you're focused on doing that, making music, following the words of the Lord, following Christ, you know, pushing for something, you're not going to get yourself caught up in all this negative hate. All the hate and all this. You've got to focus on pushing towards something.
I was going to say, you're correctly right. Because we got to look positive at all times, if we can. And that's a hard, that's a 24-hour job, you know, because everybody's not going to be happy all the time. You know, there's going to be some times where you got money problems, where you got female problems, where you got the female problems a lot.
Well, you got male problems.
We got male problems, and females have male problems.
We don't discriminate.
Well, we don't hate. We don't discriminate. But anyway, what I was getting at, though, is just to grasp on to maybe this thing called, you know, loving people versus hate. You know, okay, I'm going to give you an example. Here I am, a 58-year-old black American, okay, and I'm going to go there. I'm fishing, not bothering anybody, okay, at the city lake. And a kid drives by as fast as he can, hollering out, "Suck my B-A-L-L-S's.
Wow.
And I didn't do anything but be there.
You know,
and this is America, yeah. Okay? I'm fishing, and this is what I'm hearing.
I don't know. I think that's more just because, like, the youth today, and I mean, right, I use that. It's like, kids these days. I say that. Kids
these days, like,
they don't have any. A lot of them don't have that idea of respect for their elders, or just respect for people in general, just because they've been coddled and they've been given everything.
They don't get the belt.
Oh, no.
The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah.
Okay, bottom line.
Beat them and they shall not die.
Kids can call the police on their parents because they're spanking them. What kind of crap is that?
I mean, like, there is a fine line between, like, abuse and discipline, but it is subjective. And I understand, like, if you are disciplining your child to the point where they're bleeding, then, maybe reel it back
a little bit. The line is actually, if you make a mark, that's where the line is. I think
that's crap, because I had plenty of marks on me whenever I was a kid.
I feel like the bottom is the... It's the Bible. I think the Bible does say, like, the bottom is the, you know, spot to the whooping kid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Number one, well, I mean, like you just said, who's the kid going to show the butt to everybody?
I mean,
that's one reason. That's one thing.
But I mean, I had.
I got well.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, on the severity of what I did wrong. And I did something really majorly wrong, and I'm going to tell the world what I did. I stole money from each of my siblings' big rabbit banks, okay? But I didn't take more out of this bank other than taking it out of this bank.
You were an evil
there was four banks.
I was an evil opportunity thief,
okay? And I felt bad about it, but I got whelped for that. Okay, and guess what? I never, from that day forward, touched anybody's money, ever. Ever. All right. So, all right. I believe that was a lesson learned, okay?
Well,
and I was beat with a extension cord, okay?
See, when I was a kid, I got it both ways. My parent, well, not my mom, but my dad, he, and this is a man who was a Baptist preacher, so he used to use his hand, and then when he, like, I got too big for the hand to really do anything, then he used his belt, and he didn't just wrap it up so it was leather, no, he used the buckle.
Ooh.
Yeah, he used the buckle, so that was what I got from him. But my grandfather, he did a different way. He never laid a hand on me. If I did something wrong, he never laid a hand on me. He didn't shout or scream at me, but he made me do work.
Oh.
First thing he started me doing was he had me dig 6x6 holes in his backyard. If he didn't like the way I did it, I'd fill it back in and do it again.
Oh.
And I'd do it until he got to where it wanted. And then he'd be like, "That's a nice hole. Fill it back in, because I don't want holes in my yard."
Then as I got older,
it went to being mowing his entire 3-acre property with a manual, like, push mower.
Man.
And then he ordered about 50 cinder blocks, arranged them in a big, like, just a big stack, and then I would have to move them from one side of the property to the opposite side and build them in a specific formation. Then after I was done, I'd have to take them down, put them back in the original formation.
Well, Grandpa was no joke.
No.
I'll tell you what he was doing, though, is look at the consistency, okay, of the situation. Okay, I'm going to have you build it, and I'm going to have you tear it down. I don't like holes. Okay, but guess what? You learn. After a while, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
You know? Right. And so I'm going to be good. Bottom.
Yeah.
You know?
My grandpa always, like, I asked him years later why he never, like, spanked me or anything, and he was like, "Boyle, If I hit you, you're just it's just going to teach you that you don't like being hit. And it's going to teach you how to hate me.
Oh, he's Irish. I love him.
No.
But if I teach, if I make you do work, then it teaches you not to do bad things, and it teaches you a good work ethic. And that's what it did. It taught me how to do hard work.
Yeah.
And not be like, I'm doing hard work. I don't want to like
bringing it back to music right there. You require a discipline.
Oh yeah.
And hard work.
You yeah. have like
to do
what you need to do. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm a drummer and I'm an old drummer, so I cramp up.
Yeah.
So I have to prepare my body and I have to take the take the toxins out of my body. And so I don't sweat and cramp.
Yep.
Okay, so Chris is a drummer too. So, you know, but it's work. And you got to set up your drums. You got to have everything, you know, until you get big, like, you know, Aerosmith. Anyway, you got roadies when you're like that big or whatever. But, you know, Stones. Well, anyway, I'm talking about some big guys, you know.
But I mean, it's true because whenever you sit down and practice, you're not just teaching yourself like the technical aspect of it. You're not teaching yourself the notes and the rhythms.
No,
you're building up your body. Exactly. You are exercising those muscles, like guitar players.
So you'd be ready.
They have strong, like bassists and guitar players. They got strong hands and strong fingers.
Well,
and it takes a lot of fortitude to build those calluses up.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, because I mean, I have more than once I have practiced for a couple of hours and come out of that with my fingers bleeding. Same thing with piano. You got to strengthen your hands to be able to play those fine little tremolos and be able to and muscle memory and all of that. Same thing with singing.
So
you got to
and of course with the vocal cords and well, we were both in choirs and I'm pretty sure you were too.
5 years.
Yeah, okay. So we're all been in choirs, so we know that we have to warm the voice. Same with Chris. He knows how to sing and I don't know if Chris, are you going to sing for us today? Or?
Putting him on the spot. Yeah, dang.
Just us.
All right. All right.
Okay, well, you heard it, guys. So, but anyway, I wouldn't put you out there unless I knew that you would do a fine job.
Impromptu singing. What are y'all going to sing?
I don't know.
Josh might sing one of his songs.
I can sing Falling in Love with You by Elvis Presley. I can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Fall in Love with Jesus.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So we got two separate.
Face off, go!
Elvis Presley.
Face off.
Wait a minute. Two versus. Kings, one victory.
King of the Hill.
Yeah.
No, but.
Well, you know what we're doing? We're calling it a
mystery. Mystery show. Mystery.
Anyway, we always have fun on our mystery show.
Yeah.
And the people that are out there listening to us, we are some happy guys because we get together and we even have a way to keep it going. I mean, we're going to, we of course have that set schedule, but the thing about it is that we have talked about it and we were going to bring everybody on board and possibly just do what we got to do as far as podcast is concerned.
I mean, it's very flexible. It's a very flexible structure.
It's definitely flexible.
Well, what's not flexible, though, is that we are on every Friday night at 9 p.m. here, KPIP. 94.7.
That is good to
That's
know.
Right, yeah. So you get to hear yourself. Yeah. It'll probably be a couple weeks, I think, until they get
They got to edit everything. They got to put it all up. But
we like it, you know. And
you tune in. We do reruns.
All right.
Yeah, we do reruns.
But listen to us tonight. We got a show coming up here.
I'll have to tune that
it's
in.
9 o'clock.
Tune in, people.
Sit in my car and listen to the radio.
KPIP, low power, right here in Fayette, Missouri, you guys. Hey, you know what? We call this the, we call this the theater show.
Mystery theater show.
We always put on the characters.
We always
a great,
go with it.
A good thespian time here.
Totally.
Correct.
Good sir.
Good
sir.
Good sir. May I have some more?
So, and I don't want to dive into politics or anything, but the big giant, I think a lot of what we've been talking about is discipline. And really what arts and music and theater all put out there.
Yeah.
And then you hear about the budget cuts to the arts and the budget cuts to, you know, all the after school programs coming up.
Are you serious? Betsy DeVoe is a demon. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's really bad.
And people argue STEM, not STEAM, which is STEM stands for science, technology, electronics,
and mathematics.
Engineering and mathematics. Definitely in there.
But STEAM adds the arts in there.
Right, puts the arts in there. Okay, yeah. So, but now, I get it that STEM, it has a lot of hard work you have to do. There's some discipline that puts in there, but still, science is something you can, you know, really research and you figure that stuff out. You know, it's not necessarily something that you have to.
Science is not everybody's calling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
I understand wanting to focus on the basics, but like, school is a hard thing, especially when you're younger and you're like, you've been thrown headfirst into puberty and nobody gave you the instruction manual.
Right. Nobody.
And so, like, the arts do provide, whether or not you are like the next Rembrandt or like the next Mozart, the arts do provide a very good outlet for these tumultuous times. And you don't have to make wonderful pieces of art. You don't have to be a prodigy at, like, you know, whatever instrument you decide to go into. It just gives you an outlet.
Excuse me, I was going to say, maybe that is the key answer to these kids that think they have to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect. And if you think that, you have to get help, because then you end up like what my cousins have done, and they've taken themselves out of this life, and it hurts me a lot, and I want to help somebody, and I just want to help you out there, people that are thinking about taking your own life. Talk to me, do something, call the radio station, call somebody who gives a hoot, an idea.
Speaking on that subject, the show 13 Reasons Why, have you guys heard of it?
I haven't seen that.
I've watched it.
You've watched it? Yeah. Very deep. Very, very, oof. Some parts it's tough to watch, you know what I mean? And the reality of what happens in that show, you know what I mean, of abuse, rape, you know what I mean, all kind of things like that could lead someone to kill themselves.
Well, there's so many open doors where... And we don't understand all the time what's going on behind that closed door.
Exactly.
And I personally think, on my cousin's point of view, he was doomed when he started. He had a wife that passed away from cancer. And then he started another relationship. And then this young lady, they tried to make the best of everything. And then his daughter, I guess, was depressed, and she hung herself. But here's the part that hurts the most, is this house is tainted with her deal, her killing herself. Okay, right, and the spirit is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then her grandma goes to this thing and goes to the house, and she can hardly stand it because she knows that's where her granddaughter took her life. And then her son ends up taking his life. And then about it, so it's... tragedy.
That's
there.
Another
major
thing that
tragedy
that the show actually depicts, is that when somebody close, like somebody commits suicide, and you know me, if they were close to that person, you know how it can affect them to where they could do the same thing to watch out
the
for
chain
the
reaction.
Yeah, the chain reaction, definitely. And not to talk bad about your family. You know what I mean? God bless your family. I'm praying for your family. But suicide, man, it's such a selfish decision.
Well, it's okay. It's the Bible even says this. Okay, it's the most selfish ordeal ever, and it doesn't mean that maybe some people ask for forgiveness before they do it. How are you going to get forgiveness for saying, "God, please forgive me"? Pow.
Well, that's the same thing as like asking forgiveness before you murder somebody.
Right.
I could stand there with I could break into a family's house, tie them all up, and then ask for their forgiveness as I murder one of them.
Right.
But that, like, they're not going to forgive me.
Exactly.
Because I just murdered one of their family members. They're not going to forgive me.
How are they going to forgive you?
Exactly.
Oh, we forgive you. Okay.
But here's my opinion on the whole deal. And you know what? It might be an unpopular opinion, but like, people who want to kill themselves, they're not looking for help. They're not looking for. This isn't a cry for help. Right. They're to the point where they want to die.
Or they're very vague about it.
Yeah.
Like also in that show, it showed how the girl was very vague when she said she went to go for help. She was very vague. She didn't give the person the chance to help them.
Right.
Like that she should have.
It's just really going through.
Exactly.
No, yeah. People.
She wanted to die.
Like, you know? Yeah, I see. I go on Reddit a lot, and there's a lot of self-help things and people. There's a whole subreddit for people who suffer from depression and anxiety, just like trying to be there for one another. Mm-hmm. And this one guy posted something with the title just like the term a cry for help. And he's like, I think it's a load of crap. Mm-hmm. Because if I had gotten to the point where I wanted to kill myself, there's not a damn thing anybody could do to stop me from doing it.
If you actually want to.
Yeah.
Some people might say it for attention.
Right.
Other people that want to do it aren't going to tell anybody.
Yeah, and
no, that's it. They don't.
And those are the people who need the real help, who need the hospitalization, because they've gotten to that point where they don't want to turn back. They have already made up their mind that this isn't a place that I want to live in anymore. It's never going to get better for me.
Right.
So I'm just going to die.
I'm going to do it.
Sure.
You know, but there's so many gray areas there. You have to
right.
And there's so many different ways you can talk about it. That series right there,
yeah.
I have someone who's close to me who did try to commit suicide after watching that.
Mm, you know, yeah, so and that's something that I've heard a lot of too. Is mm-hmm. I've heard people saying don't watch it because one there's two different schools on why people shouldn't watch it. One, some people believe it's not an accurate representation of what people go through mm-hmm. and what people feel. Which mm-hmm. my response to that is, what people go through is as varied as people are.
Exactly, right.
And yeah, so you can't say, not, oh, this isn't accurate. Representative at all.
Right.
It could be representative of some people, and it's
but
definitely not representative of a lot. Of other people.
Yeah, you know.
But then there's people out there saying that they knew people who watched that show and it was the deciding factor on them killing themselves. Mm. Or it tipped them over in depression enough for them to decide to kill themselves.
Decision. It was like, maybe they saw it as like, okay, you know,
yeah, it's like,
there's no help.
Yeah, it, it's just like, it's so, this is the rest of the world. This is what it's like. I don't care anymore. I'm going to off myself.
This is mm-hmm. the right thing to do, which is mm-hmm. it's not.
And it's just, it's an ugly, vicious cycle. And then, and I don't know, I want
to see a point of contention against what your
right.
opinion is, which, like you said, it is an unpopular opinion. I feel like the words a cry for help are really more focused, not so much to judge or to identify the person who has committed the act or so not committed it, but really to identify to the people around them, hey, you're probably doing something wrong or you're not doing something right around this person.
You need to pay more attention.
Like, yeah, you need to show up. You need to show up in their life. You need to make something happen.
Like,
you know, and to speak from a personal story, I was down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was overseas, you know what? I ended up being cheated on. I thought I didn't have a friend in the world. I was going to marry the woman that I was with.
Hmm.
She cheated on me. And guess what? Lo and behold, a couple of nights later, I had an M16 in my mouth.
Hmm.
And I had the means to do it. I had a magazine that was full.
Wow.
I was about to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped myself. Hmm. And I was like, you know what? I just need to go talk to somebody. Okay? And so that's what I did. I went and talked to my convoy commander.
Mm-hmm.
He got me out of my funk.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy.
I'm glad
that,
he did.
Yeah, that I mean, somebody was there for me.
For you.
That's the thing. Exactly. Did he know what you were going through? Did you let him know?
No, I didn't tell him everything. I didn't tell him everything.
That's the careful thing. Like, say if you would have went to him, right, and he was in a funky mood and he didn't want to talk to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Not knowing what he was doing, he probably brushed you off. What could have happened? You know what I mean?
He'd been like,
bad. Yeah, it could have been bad.
He should be like, well.
Definitely.
Yeah,
because he was aware of the surroundings and he kind of knew what was going on.
He felt you out.
He felt it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was that person that was there for me. And I've been that person that was there for another person before in the past, before I actually went overseas.
It's like 6 degrees, if you guys believe in that. There's a 6 degree of togetherness, help, humanity, just things that are all connected to bring people a way of getting help or being helped. Or so, like, I'm always the type of person, like, okay, I see a guy on the street with the sign, and if I got an extra buck, I'll go up there and tell them, though, don't be spending my money on drugs. I go straight there. Buy food, but don't be buying drugs with this. Because if you buy drugs with this dollar or whatever I give you, five, whatever, it ain't going to prosper you and you're going to get sick. So I doom the money in a way.
You know what I mean? They also, you know, his sister is my pastor. We go to Holy Ground Church. And she would say when I would help them out, you know what I mean, and I was, wasn't doing the right thing, you know, smoking things I shouldn't be smoking, they would bless the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would let me know, this is, be careful what you do with this money because it's blessed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That scared me. Like, oh, man, I better not go do this, you know, because, ooh. Oh,
this is Lord's money.
Yeah, this is Lord's money. Oh,
we can't be messing with the Lord's money.
Well, I'll tell you what, now, this was a good discussion. I really appreciate the whole mixture of everything, and thanks, Chris, for joining us.
And you know, if you're out there and you're dealing with something, and if you have an issue and you don't feel like you can talk to anybody, there are plenty of people you can talk to.
Right.
You know, there's always places you can call, and it's completely anonymous, so you don't have to just out yourself as having this kind of issue if that's your concern. Talk to people.
Yeah. Do not give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
You never know if it's going to get better if you end it right now. You never know if it's going
to
get better.
What I always say, and what I've heard before, is if things start to get harder, that just means you leveled up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And it's time
that's
to
not
go.
A video game concept. I don't know.
I love video game concept.
You guys ready to take this out?
Yeah, we're going to play. Tommy's going to play us out.
What? Mystery show.
Show. 94.7 Mystery Show.
KPIP.